Hello, my beautiful selfish babes. In today's Selfish Talk podcast, I'm interviewing Sage the Flame, and it is called In Coochie We Trust, Everything OnlyFans and Sex Work with Sage the Flame. I truly enjoyed this podcast episode. Ever since 2020, when COVID hit, I know that we all saw a huge uptake in OnlyFans and so many more people going to OnlyFans to put their content on, especially when it came to sexual content. And so I've always been curious about, well, how do you do it? You know, how do you make OnlyFans a full-time thing or a part-time thing? And the questions that go behind it, you know, that we're all curious about. And so I was really grateful that Sage the Flame sat down with us and was just open and honest and authentic and, you know, just shared her perspective and her personal experience. And so as you guys are listening to this episode, make sure to screenshot it. Make sure to share it in your stories and tag at Selfish Babe, at Sage the Flame, at Olanike Osibuwale, and at Selfish Talk Podcast. And let us know, what are your thoughts? What are your questions? I know you guys are going to love this. Thank you for listening and always supporting. Love you guys. Let's get into it. Hey, love. Welcome to the Selfish Babe Podcast, aka Selfish Talk, hosted by me, Olanike OC. Selfish Babe is a personal development and women's lifestyle brand dedicated to women learning how to selfishly and authentically love themselves. On this podcast, expect to have your mind expanded, curse words said, and to gain a new perspective about who the fuck you are. Let's get into it. The Selfish Babe Selfish Talk podcast is sponsored by my company, Goddess Detox. Goddess Detox is a holistic wellness company dedicated to providing women with self-love inspired products to physically, spiritually, and emotionally detox. If you are a woman wanting to detox her ex, detox negative emotions, as well as to get more in tune with yourself and your vagina, check out our Goddess Vaginal Detox Pearls, as well as our Queen Steam and Queen's Throne Combo, which is the in-home vaginal steam set for your convenience. You can find out more information on our products at goddessdetox.org, as well as follow at Goddess Detox on Instagram. Tell them Olanike OC sent you. Beautiful Selfish Babes, welcome back to another Selfish Babe Selfish Talk podcast. I'm so excited about this episode. Okay, today we have Sage the Flame. Can you say hello, my love?
Hello, hello.
Talking to us about everything OnlyFans, sex work, and you know how she got into the industry, because I know I've been curious and I know my Selfish Babes are curious, and you know, just your journey, because I also know that you also had a business, a t-shirt company. And so I want to kind of take us through the journey from there. And I know that a lot of my Selfish Babes who are on my text list definitely sent me questions. And so don't worry, Selfish Babe, I'm definitely going to shout you out. I'm definitely going to say your question. Thank you guys for sending it. And so just to start off, Sage, I wanted to just know a little bit about you and a little bit about your background. So just kind of mind taking us through a little bit about your history.
Well, I will say that I was raised in a Black suburban neighborhood, and I definitely went through a internalized anti-Blackness phase as a child. And then as the Black Lives Matter movement started taking off, I really dived into that environment of unpacking all that internalized anti-Blackness and embracing my Blackness and understanding more about social justice and activism and you know what everything means and how everything impacts me and how everything impacts, you know, my community, et cetera, et cetera. Then I started my t-shirt business. And it initially started because I wanted to become a yoga instructor and I didn't have any money. You know, my parents didn't have any money to, right? You can't get like scholarships for like yoga. You can't do that. So I actually started my company started as a as a way for me to raise money for me to go to, you know, to become a yoga instructor. And then the business just grew extremely fast. And it was a lot to manage. And it was really stressful. It got to a point where it was really stressful. And so I had plans on closing the business, and, you know, kind of moving forward, with my desire to get into something more centered around personal wellness, body, wellness of the body, et cetera, et cetera. And then COVID happened. And so, right, I just had no, I had no option. Coronavirus said it's time, you know.
I have a few questions as you speak, because I've been actually interviewing a lot of people where they've like started something new right when COVID hit. And you know, we're gonna go into 2022, but I feel like COVID's still really recent. And it's just like the amount of people that have started something new right when COVID hit and the growth and the success that has come from it has been really amazing to me. But first, just for our listeners and our viewers, what is your cultural background?
I am half Dominican and half Nigerian.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Do you speak Yoruba?
I don't. The only language I'm fluent in is English, unfortunately. But I'm currently learning. I've definitely been way more exposed to my Dominican culture growing up. So I'm in the process of learning Spanish because my father speaks, you know, my father's an English speaker, and my mother's a fluent Spanish and English teacher, so I didn't grow up in the house speaking Spanish, so now I'm on Duolingo every day, you know, trying to learn Spanish.
Girl, I'm trying to learn French. I took French in high school and all of college, and I still don't know it, and I'm like, my girlfriend went to France over the summer. And I'm like, bitch, I gotta learn how to speak French. Like, now I'm like motivated.
Exactly.
I need to get on Duolingo. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So thank you for the cultural background. Now I wanted to know, you had mentioned something that I think was really important. And you said that you felt like you had anti-Blackness in you, even though you have Black in you. So explain that. Like, why did you feel that way? And like, you know, why did you feel that way? And how did you know that you actually felt that way? You know,
Sometimes
like we could feel a way, but we don't really know that we feel that way.
Yeah. So for context, I was born in 1999. So, and I feel like the pro-Black movement as we know it today started around 2014, 2015. So growing up, the majority of the representation that I saw in the media was predominantly white, you know. Yeah. Everybody on TV was white. All my favorite musicians were white. Yeah. Pretty much everyone that, you know, I looked up to was white, just looking at TV, radio, et cetera. So I wanted to be like, you know, my favorite musicians and my favorite actresses and, you know, everybody that I saw in the magazine, and they were all white. Yeah. And so I didn't really understand that was a that was like kind of detrimental to my self-image until like I was maybe like 10 or so, and I had started going to this predominantly white private school and, you know, just really getting into white culture. And I grew up in Baltimore, Maryland. So in Maryland, lacrosse is a big thing. Like, you know, there's just like there's like a staple Maryland white person. And like, I was really like interested in fitting in. Basically, that's what I was attempting to fit in. So I remember one time I still really love the band Paramore. And I remember one time.
I was so definitely going to ask you, who were some of your favorite artists growing up? And I am a Paramore fan. But I'm an early Paramore fan. I'm not into
me too.
Stuff. I'm into the early stuff. And when Willow came out with, I think, one of her songs, and she had a Paramore likeness to her sound.
Yeah.
And she mentioned that Paramore is one of her favorite bands. And I was like, oh my God, thank you for bringing them back some way.
Yeah. So I remember this was back when like music choice was like a big thing, and you could like stream your favorite music videos like on demand, like on Comcast or whatever. So I remember like there was this one Sunday where I was just like listening to rock music all day and like watching all these music videos. And my father was like, you know, like, do you listen to music by Black people? Like, you know, like, do you have any interest in the art that Black people create? And I didn't really think of much of it, but like, he was really trying to like show me that, you know, I was really, I had all this interest in like things that white people did and like really no interest towards Black people and their art and their creations. And so, you know, as the pro-Black movement started to come about in 2014 and like, you know, like things like, I remember on Tumblr, when I used to be on Tumblr, the blackout was a thing where like there would be a day where Black people would post selfies and like, it would be like this whole self-love thing. And that really was a catalyst in, you know, helping me unpack all of the ways in which I had, put whiteness on a pedestal and preferred whiteness, you know, and preferred, right. I mean, growing up, like people, especially when I went to that predominantly white private school, you know, people would question my curly hair and people would, you know, people would say, oh, your hair looks better straight. And like, you know, all these microaggressions.
Yeah.
So yeah. So those were all the things that kind of, you know, breeded this internalized anti-Blackness. And then yeah, so I feel like social media helped me unpack those things.
Yeah, I love that. For me growing up, I grew up in a predominantly Black neighborhood, went to a Black middle school, elementary school, and high school. Mm-hmm. But the Black people around me that I saw really weren't doing that well. And I did ingest a lot of white culture on TV. Like I loved Britney Spears, I loved NSYNC, I loved Backstreet Boys. And I liked a little bit of Evanescence. I loved Linkin Park, Paramore, like, you know, all of that.
And yeah.
Like high school is when I started to listen to like the hip hop and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then me, I had decided that after high school, I wanted to go to college. And I knew for a fact that I did not want to go to an HBCU. And I knew that for a fact. I said I wanted to go to a predominantly white institution because I felt like I wanted to just see stuff different. And I got into Florida State University, and that's where I went. But even when I got into that university, I like began to learn about FSU through a program called the CARE program, where they really bring students of multicultural ethnicities to come into the predominantly white institution. And from being at FSU, a predominantly white institution, I learned to really appreciate my Blackness. Like I knew I could appreciate my Blackness in high school and middle school. But when I got into college, like I really appreciated my Blackness because even at times, like I was taking psychology and I would always learn about what the minorities weren't doing or what they weren't measuring up to. And like Black people fall under the category of a quote unquote minority. You know, even that word itself is very, I got to get into that, but it's just like, I was like, well, why? Why are we the lowest things? And they didn't really have like a multicultural psychology, but when I told myself I wanted to go to grad school, I was looking at multicultural psychology programs because I'm like, there must be something different. And I had stumbled upon a Black psychology program at FAMU, which was also in Tallahassee. And I went to FAMU for grad school, and that is a predominantly Black institution. And through Black psychology and just like the historical context of Black people in America, I began to learn as to why I wasn't valuing Blackness in general. Like I didn't until I was at an all white environment. And I'm like, wow, why are we like the lowest on everything? And then it wasn't until I got to an HBCU that they were able to describe kind of what you talked about, seeing like media and seeing white people on a pedestal and seeing like that's the standard beauty. Because even
the beauty standard.
I wanted a nose job when I was in middle school, and I was like, I want smaller. But that's because every woman that I saw on the magazines that I was reading, you know, they weren't Black women. They were white women. They were thin. They had straight hair and they had thin noses. And I had a problem with my nose growing up, have moved past that. I don't have an issue with it anymore. But it's like the stuff that we take in on a subconscious level, we may not be able to notice. And I just want to make sure I make note to all of my selfish babes that listen. I love all my selfish babes from all the cultures, okay? But you guys know I'm a Black woman, so I'm gonna be talking from a Black woman's standpoint. But and so I'm just really appreciative for Sage for just kind of sharing her own standpoint on having anti-Blackness growing up. And I feel like, you know, that could be kind of scary to admit being a Black person. Because it's like, wait, what?
I mean, but I feel like that's such a, like, I feel like there's no way that I'm alone in that experience. Like, you know, that it's such a common experience. And even like you mentioned, like, you know, going to a predominantly Black school, like I had that experience going to a predominantly Black middle school. And even then, and this was after I went to a predominantly white school, going to that predominantly Black school, I noticed that people put my light skinness on a pedestal. And I thought that that was weird. You know what I'm saying? So like all of these things led me to realize that I have internalized blackness and I need to unpack it. So I have luckily successfully unpacked it. But yeah, I don't think that I'm alone in that experience at all.
No, I agree. I said, what honesty can do for you, boy, because that's honest. And you had mentioned your business. So I'm guessing you're 22 right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when did you actually start the t-shirt company that you had started?
I was 17.
So you were really young. Wow. Because I was very young. And I remember it blowing up. And I have my own business as well called Goddess Detox. And I just kind of remember seeing your company around. And so I'm like, oh, I didn't know like how young you were when you started. And so I liked something that you said, because I feel like a lot of times, even being as an entrepreneur, we kind of like hold on to the thing that makes us quote unquote successful or that brings on money.
Yeah.
Like we like hold on to it. Like it's like, but you like let it go. You know,
trying
to talk about the truth though, about like how sometimes with that such an explosiveness of success, the stress that comes along with it and the things that you may have to grow and expand to if you want to continue it, but then also being an entrepreneur and being mentally well and well in your life. Because I think a lot of people really, they show success in a way of like all the good parts, which is like the money and like the cars and the house and all that stuff. And that's beautiful. But then sometimes they don't talk about like the stuff that comes along with it, like mental health, mental wellness. How are you stepping away from your business? The amount of busyness that you have and how that can be. Because even for me, I told myself like for me, for my success, I still very much see wealth in my, as a part of my life, but not success in a way that makes me that extremely busy person that if you're having a conversation with me, I'm always on my phone or I just don't have time for people in my life. Like, I don't like that type of success. I think it's very toxic. I think it's very unhealthy. And I think that we can get very mentally unwell. And so for you, you had stepped away. Now tell us about that. And like, how was that for you to step away from that?
Like you just mentioned, like that toxicity, you know, just being such a busy person, I definitely fell victim to that. And I didn't even, you know, this was right. I was 17 when I started the company. I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. And I will say that I'm extremely thankful for that entire experience because it has taught me a lot. And it has taught me a lot, you know, just managing any type of business or any type of entrepreneurial journey moving forward. So I'm extremely thankful for that experience. But you know, I started the company because I wanted to be a yoga teacher, and the company exploded so quickly. And I really did do my best to maintain it. I really did, but it just got to a point where I just decided I'm not going to kill myself and, you know, destroy all my personal relationships and destroy my personal wellness to maintain this, because it's just not beneficial. And also I felt like my company had ran its course, like because, you know, my t-shirt brand was social justice messages, you know, boldly imprinted on the chest or on the shirt or whatever. And I started in 2016, and I felt like it had made its impact where, you know, the whole point of the brand was basically to get out a message and start conversations. And by 2019 and by 2020, I felt like that, you know, conversations were already going, you know, like now it's the next step. Like, now the conversation's going, what are the actions that we're going to take? And I felt like, you know, selling these t-shirts, like it had had its purpose in social justice. And now it's time to do something different. Now it's time to move towards actionable items and stuff like that. And I just didn't think the world needed, you know, social justice t-shirts anymore. Now we needed action. Like, you know what I'm saying? So all of those things together, I think it made sense to me that it was time to move on.
Okay. And did you end up selling or did you end up just closing out?
Yeah. So I just ended up closing out. The timing was pretty like, you know, everything kind of lined up. Like my lease was expiring at the time I had a whole warehouse. I was managing a team. Like it was a lot, like, you know.
Well, I understand. Like we just got our warehouse a few months back. I have a team now, but to make even that leap, I didn't want to do that. I didn't feel like I wanted to. I did it and I feel good about it now. But the amount of pressure and stuff that I'm like, oh wow, now you're like responsible for people's salaries. Mm-hmm. Things like that.
It's a lot. Yeah. So yeah, our lease was expiring at the time. And yeah, so we just kind of closed out.
Okay. And then now COVID hit, and how did you get into OnlyFans?
So honestly, I had been dabbling in sex work literally since I turned 18. I had always had, since a very young age, I had always had a fascination with sex, sexual energy, you know, the reasons why people are so weird about sex and why, you know, in the West, we're so like, we like to tiptoe around sex and sex is so much in the shadows. Like all of this really fascinated me. From a very young age. And so as soon as I turned 18, I started dabbling in selling nudes. I think my first, Snapchat was my first, you know, thing that I did. And then I want to say in 2018, I consulted with a sex worker in Miami who was successful on OnlyFans and still is successful on OnlyFans. And she was like, yeah, girl, like Snapchat is cute and everything, but you need to like get with OnlyFans. It will help you organize and streamline what you're trying to do, which is, you know, selling nude content online. So I took her advice. And eventually started my OnlyFans in 2019. But then I started to take it more seriously in January of 2020. And you know, it's just been kind of, it's just been on the up and up ever since.
Yeah. I think I just remember your post on social media, and I don't think I was following you at the time. And it was just like a video, and I think it was like a girl on girl video. And it was like a really well done, high quality. It was a high quality.
Thank you.
And I think that's like, you know, I'm like, oh, like that's, I don't know if that helped. I'm pretty sure that helped in terms of the marketing of getting people on your OnlyFans, but that's
definitely what I remember. Yeah.
So, but first, before we get into that, I have a question, because I think I remember you talking about a past sexual assault. Is this true?
Yes.
And that, I don't know if like OnlyFans helped to heal this for you or what, but do you mind taking us through that? I just remember you mentioning it, and I kind of wanted you to kind of talk about that and like maybe how like OnlyFans or sex work helps you like heal or something like that through it.
Yeah. So I experienced sexual assault twice, unfortunately. One was before I even started OnlyFans, and it was kind of like a situation of sexual coercion. And the latter was when I experienced, it was a photographer, and I would like to out him. So his Instagram or his Twitter handle was Real Baddies. I know it got deleted. Yeah. But I did make a post about it maybe like around March or April. I mentioned in the post, he's largely irrelevant. Like, it's not like he's like a big time like photographer or anything, and he's based in Atlanta. But he does, you know, his efforts to work with new people are, he makes efforts because he has no one to work with. But to answer your question, I think that especially when I first started OnlyFans, I mean, it still is very much so a safe space for me to explore my sexuality. And to, you know, express my sexuality. And so I don't think that I have ever viewed what I do as a way to heal from those things, but I do think that it is a helpful safe space just in general, just like, you know, just expressing my sexuality in general. Like, right, for example, I did my first MMF threesome, as a shoot.
For the people that don't know the lingo, what is MMF? I just want to make sure we clear.
So it stands for male, female.
Okay.
I did my first male, female threesome as a scene for OnlyFans. And that was so much fun. Like, literally, I had a blast. Like, I put the whole thing, I didn't put the whole thing together. Like, it was a collaborative effort, but like, you know, I was able to decide who was going to film it, who was going to be a part of it. And it was just so much fun. And I'm so glad that I had that, you know, space to do that. I don't think it's inherently like a healing thing for that reason, but it does help. It does help provide a space for me to explore my sexuality that I really enjoy.
I like that. And like for you, okay, so how, well, for some people, everybody's experience is different. I've heard that for some people that have experience a sexual assault that it's hard for them to even want to do sex again. And so for you, how was your experience in continuing to do sex?
That is a good question. I will say that everyone's experience is different and everyone's response to their trauma is different. I will say, like, literally after the most recent situation with my sexual assault happened, maybe a few days later, I reached out to somebody that I was that I have sex with off camera.
Yeah.
A personal relationship of mine. I approached the sex that we had and that we continue to have as a space and a way for me to cultivate the sexual experience I want and I desire. So, you know, I didn't, like, that thing happened to me, and then my approach to sex is, this is my time to cultivate sex exactly how I want it to happen. And this is my space and my time to have really great sex.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use this opportunity as a way to make sure that I continue to associate sex with a positive, view. Yeah. So I'm definitely, like, how I've continued is I'm more mindful of using sex as an opportunity to have very positive and healing experiences.
I like that. I was like, I know you may not define it as healing, but the way that you associate it even after the fact, I think it could be a very healing method, because just thinking about, well, I want to still have good experiences with sex and I want them to be experiences that I enjoy. And so it's like, right, you have this person that you, I assume that you feel safe with having sex. So it's like, mm-hmm, okay, let me continue to cultivate these good experiences. So I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
So now just give us a little rundown about OnlyFans, how it grew, what you do, how it works, and I have my questions I'm going to answer along the way.
So, like you mentioned, that Girl on Girl video, I released that in May of 2020. It's funny because, so right now I live in Atlanta, and before I moved to, before I moved to Atlanta, I lived in Broward, like around Miami, for 5 years in Florida. And when the pandemic hit, So I started taking my OnlyFans more seriously in January of 2020, and I was able, up until the pandemic, for the first 3 months of 2020, I was able to, you know, make the content. At the time I lived with my mother, and I was able to make the content I needed to make in the house because she was going to work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I was able to, you know, do my content, whatever. Pandemic hits, and that video, the girl on girl video that I made, I literally had to sneak out because, right, she was concerned at this time, at the beginning of the pandemic, everybody thought that they were gonna die if they stepped outside.
So
my mother, of course, you know, being older than me, she was concerned. So I literally had to sneak out of the house. I think my lie was that I was going to the beach or something. I was going to, like, a park day or something. So I snuck out of the house to make this, you know, to shoot this content.
Yeah.
And it was a success and it was great. And so that was really something that kind of, like, really started my real positive trajectory on OnlyFans. So it's really a matter of, you know, deciding what your niche is and what you're bringing to the community, you know, to sex work in general. Because as we've seen, as the pandemic has gone underway, the sex work, there has been a spike in online sex work. Yeah. So, you know, you have to really figure out what are you bringing to the table.
What
I feel like I'm bringing to the table is intimate content, sensual content, just content that is not staged. Like, I'm not trying to do the mainstream porn thing. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not with the step sibling narratives. Like, we're not doing that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So my whole thing is, like, capturing intimate content, and capturing intimate content between people of color, because even I have seen an uptick in, like, well-produced, erotic, sensual, intimate content on mainstream platforms, but everybody is white. Everybody is still white. You know what I'm saying? And we, as people of color and as Black people specifically, I have yet to see, like really fantastic, you know, the options are slim. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm trying to bring to the table. I mean, you just have to find your niche and you have to be consistent. Consistency is key. And that's how, you know, I feel like I've been able to kind of, you know, have this positive trajectory on OnlyFans. And website is coming January. So stay tuned for that, because OnlyFans, you can't put all your eggs in one basket. So website.
Okay. I like that. That's a smart idea. So did you always, when you first started your OnlyFans, did it start off as like just photos, self-masturbation, and then sex with other people, or it always already started off with sex with other people?
So it started off as solo masturbation, simply because I was struggling to find people to work with, because I had just started in Miami. I mean, the East Coast is amateur hour when it comes to the porn industry. Okay. Miami is the best that the porn industry has on the East Coast. But even then, Miami is still pretty amateur.
Okay.
So I was putting out solo content just to get to the point where I could. And in that girl video that you were talking about with like the pink background and everything, that was the first. That was the first video I did where somebody showed their face, because actually, now that I think about it, prior to that, I had been, like you have sex with guys and they're like, let me record. So, you know, I would post, you know, content that I did, but that wasn't like, you know, really intimate. Like, you know, we don't see kissing in those videos, but with that girl video that I finally posted, it was a lot of kissing, you know, it was a lot of foreplay, blah, blah, blah.
So
it was all solo up until I finally put out that video.
Okay. I want to say that to my selfish babes. For me, what I think I really love about OnlyFans, and I think Sage is really giving a really good perspective, is the intimacy and the like
the connection that you can have.
Yeah, it's just not, it don't feel fake. Whether or not people are lovers, right? It doesn't feel fake, and it doesn't feel like over the top. And
like,
it doesn't
super
feel
staged.
Like everybody's body is done. And I'm not saying that's a fact, people that got their bodies done. I'm just saying, like, sometimes we want to see something different. Sometimes we want to see something a little bit more natural, a little bit of what we can actually expect in our bedroom. And so I think OnlyFans really brings that intimacy. And so for me, I think when it like got popular, I'm just like, oh, for me, in terms of going and being a person that views OnlyFans, I'm just like, oh, this is different. I like this. This is nice.
Yeah, so it's refreshing.
It is very, oh, I love that. It is very refreshing. Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast?
Oh,
it's
my God.
Your voice is nice.
Girl, I think about this like every morning when I wake up. It's just like, I would love to start a podcast. It's just that I would like to also make sure that I have the time and resources to consistently maintain a podcast.
Yeah.
But I really think, because I plan on getting my certification as a sexologist. So I think maybe then I would love to get a podcast, but I really cannot even tell you when it will happen. But, you know, fingers crossed.
She has a really nice voice. I think podcasts would be really good for her.
Thank you.
That came to my mind. Okay, so now I'm going to look at some of these questions that my selfish babes just ask. And so let's see. Let's see what they said. I sent this. Okay. Got that. Oh, I have a question. This is my personal question. Do your parents know what you do?
Yes. So my mom has known, because mind you, right before the pandemic, like I started. So, like I said, I used to live in Miami with my mom and I was a stripper for 3 weeks. And the reason why it was cut short is because the pandemic started. So, you know, my parents knew that I was stripping. And then let me see. My mom found out first. I want to say she found out probably when I moved out is when she found out. Because, she was like, how are you going to support yourself? And I'm like, girl, I guess this is, you know, I guess this is a time where you have to find out. Because she had no idea what
this is what's going on.
So I told her, you know, she's like a devout Christian woman. So like at first she was kind of judgy, but now she's like, you know, God would want me to love you, so I'm going to just unconditionally love you. You know what I'm saying? And my father, on the other hand, he just found out in September, because I was featured on NPR and I was like, hey, Dad, listen to this. So that's how he found out.
That was the way. So did you listen to it in front of him, or you had him listen to it separately and then come to you?
Yeah, so it was a live radio broadcast. So I told him to tune in at a certain time. And then actually, you know, it just so happened that that same day, like later that day, I was going to visit him in Chicago. Okay. So I landed and then we had a conversation about it. And really, he just wanted it. It went surprisingly well, to be honest. He just wanted to know like what certain words mean. And like, you know, why I have chosen to do something that is so socially unacceptable. And I thought that that was a funny question because my father is like, my father has always been an entrepreneur and he's like the epitome of doing things without giving a shit about what anyone else thinks about it. Yeah. So I was like, you know, I'm your daughter, you know, just think about the fact that I've inherited half of your genes. So there's the answer to your question. But yeah, the conversation went well. My mother also listened to the NPR episode and she called me and she was like, you know, you're so smart. Like, you know, you're very well spoken. Like, I'm so proud of you, blah, blah, blah. And it was, and that was honestly really touching.
That's really beautiful. I love that. And the reason I asked, okay, because it's like, yeah, we may be like grown adults, but it's like, you know, our parents knowing certain things about us could feel a little scary or telling them, especially like, I feel like sex work, you know? And so yeah. Like, that's why I wanted to ask, well, do they know? And like, how is their reaction? Because I know that my self-scripts did not ask, but I know that was my question. Like, well, let's say that anybody is just like, well, what do you tell your parents that you do? Do you lie? Even if you do lie, what do you tell them? And if you don't lie, like, how did the conversation go? So I'm glad you're able to tell us that you actually told them after some time. And then they I think that's beautiful because you can continue to show up as yourself to them without hiding something.
Yeah, fact.
All right, so this is some of the questions that some of our selfish babes have asked. Okay, so one person says, her name is Rena. How can you get started if you're a shy person?
Hopefully that wasn't too loud. Sorry. that's a great question. The beautiful thing about online sex work is that you don't have to be live if you don't want to be live. Like, you can go live on OnlyFans, but you really don't have to be live. So, you know, you really have to put yourself in the mindset of, okay, I'm going, you know, say for example, if you're making solo content, I'm going to put on this face and I'm going to put on, it's totally fine to have a facade. Like, there are many sex workers that have a persona and then have their real life. You know what I'm saying? So it's totally fine to have a persona. Like, it is totally fine. What's Beyonce's alter ego? Sasha Fierce. It's totally fine to be Sasha Fierce. You know what I'm saying? So, and then when it comes to working with other people, and honestly, right, like, if being faceless helps you with your shyness, like, that's totally fine. You can start out being faceless. My only thing with being faceless is that you really have to, like, work it. Like, if you're going to be faceless, get a real cute face mask, make it a brand, you know, don't play with it, because there are so many other faceless people out here doing it. It's so mediocre. Do not be mediocre.
So Sage the Flame says, don't be mediocre.
Don't be mediocre. And then when it comes to working with other people, you know, it's especially for women, it's kind of hard out here for a pimp. You know what I'm saying? Like, men kind of suck. And even men that work in the industry, they suck. You know what I'm saying? So you have to, like, weed out the, you have to vet your people. And, you know, I have gotten to a point where I will literally say, if I'm going to work with you, I'm going to send you a Google form so you can fill out, you know, so we are both on the same page. What are your likes? What are your dislikes? What are your boundaries? Right. Can you, if you can't show your face, we're not making content. If you have a partner and you can't, and one of your boundaries is that you can't kiss other people, we're not making content. No hard feelings. That's just what it is. So, you know what I'm saying? You have to find a way to vet people so you know that you guys are compatible when it comes to working together. And then also, like, if you're shy and you know that you're shy around other people, advocate for sharing space before you have sex. Like, it's totally cool to, like, be like, yo, like, do you want to come over and watch a movie the night before we shoot content? Or do you want to go out and get dinner? You know what I'm saying? Just so you can establish that physical comfort. So just, you know, understand what your needs are and don't feel bad about advocating for them. Because at the end of the day, who's going to beat your ass about it? Nobody.
Yeah. No, I like that. And, you know, when you describe that, it really gives me boss bitch energy, you know, because it is a business too.
Yeah, it is.
And so when you talk about that, I'm just like, okay, no, she's taking her shit seriously. That's business questions. Asking somebody, filling out a form, why are they dyslexic, non-dyslexic, so you know what to expect and what you guys can do together. And so this goes into the next question, as somebody says, what is the secret to being able to do OnlyFans full time? And I feel like one of the secrets is boss bitch energy, but let us know some other secrets, because I know that there's some selfish babes that are probably thinking about starting or have started, but it's like they're not seeing enough traction. So what advice would you give to them?
My top two pieces of advice, and mind you, I'm not a solo creator, so if you're trying to go solo, I don't know, but my top two pieces of advice are collaborations are great. Collaborations are great for all parties involved, and it helps you merge audiences and grow your platform. Also, paid promotion on Twitter, for example, like there are, you know, pages that will retweet your promo, you know, just paid promotion on Twitter.
So I'm in an Instagram world, and I know of different pages on Instagram that will share your stuff, repost your stuff, you pay them, they post your shit, but I've never heard of Twitter pages that do that. How do you know that they actually want to run ads?
So there's like a whole genre of porn pages that, well, okay, so there's porn pages on Twitter. Okay. And then there's porn, most of those porn pages will retweet your stuff if you pay them. Okay. Like there are like whole pages dedicated to like promotion for sex workers. Yeah. The best ways to find them, because right, you know, everything sex related on Twitter is shadow, you know, sex is shadow banned everywhere. So the best way to find those pages, you could ask sex workers, you could DM sex workers, be like, hey, you know, what are your favorite promotional pages? Or you know, honestly, I feel like that's probably the best way, because the other ways are probably tedious. Like, say for example, if you like find a sex worker and then you go through their following list, like that's probably too much. I would just ask around.
And I want to say to myself, babes, if you are going to DM other sex workers for this, just always say that, hey, what are your favorite pages? I'm also willing to pay you for this information, because I feel like paying for people's information is very important. And I just don't want people DMing people expecting free shit, because it took people some time to probably find that information, get that information. So please give people at their time. And so make sure that you're offering some coins for the information.
And you can also ask, like, sex workers that have bigger pages, you can also ask them if you can pay them for promotion. They might say no. And then in that case, right, you could then pose a question. Well, you know, what pages do you suggest that I ask and stuff like that?
I've seen that as well, where some other people's on OnlyFans will promote another user on OnlyFans. Someone says, do you honestly orgasm, I guess, when you're on camera?
I honestly do. I'm thinking of like a moment. There was, okay, so recently when I went to Miami, I shot three scenes, all of which I did not orgasm. So all of those three videos, unfortunately, will never see the light of day.
You like, you don't want to show them because you didn't orgasm?
I don't want to show them. So the reason that I didn't orgasm was because the sex was whack and I don't want to show that, you know what I'm saying? So the sex was subpar. So yeah, so all the videos that I have published, I am orgasming in any video. You know, there's only been three out of like 65 of the videos that I have that I haven't orgasmed, and they will not be published.
Okay, good to know. Abigail asks, do you manifest when you orgasm?
That is a great question. In my personal masturbation practice, I do. Like, I rarely watch porn when I masturbate, because so my balcony, like, I live in Atlanta. There's a lot of trees, you know, it's beautiful. So my balcony is literally trees. So what I'll do is I'll sit on my bed and literally I'll just look out the window and just think of things that I want to manifest, and I'll just end up orgasming. So yes, and it's fantastic.
I like to hear that. Yeah, because I talk to my selfish babes just about manifestation through orgasm. So that was a really good question. Selfish babe Abigail. Let's see. Okay, so Teray asks, how did you gain the confidence? Does she take anything? Like, so, you know, some people beforehand, that's what she
means. Oh, that's true.
Like, take anything to like get in your zone? But how did you gain the confidence? And she says, do you take anything? And it's that emoji that has like the sweat coming out. Like, she was nervous to ask that question, just so you know, but she did ask.
So I'm going to answer the do I take anything question first. The answer is no. I honestly, if I'm shooting with somebody and they ask me like, if I, honestly, if I shoot with somebody and they ask me if I smoke or drink, that's fine, I guess. But if they, I have had people ask me if I like do pills, and that's concerning. Cause why are we, what's going on? Like, what's going on here? So, cause I just in general, when I approach sex, I like to be as present as possible during the sex that I have. So yeah, I don't, especially smoking, cause smoking gives me dry mouth. Like I smoke weed in my day to day life, but weed gives me dry mouth. So that's not smart. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So if anything, you just, like, sometimes what I like to do is like after I shoot with somebody, if the vibes are great, then, you know, we'll smoke a blunt afterwards, like a little celebratory blunt. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But yeah, I don't really do anything except for drink a lot of water and maybe have some, cause like aphrodisiacs, like dark chocolate, matcha lattes, like great aphrodisiac, so I might do that. But like drugs, no, not before sex. Maybe after, you know what I'm saying, but not before. The first question was, how did I gain the confidence to do this? So
yes,
so yeah, so I've always been pretty confident in my body and, you know, nudity and stuff like that. That's never really like been like an extremely, like, of course it took me some time to like really get comfortable. Yeah. And I will say, like, when I first started doing sex work, you know, I was pretty nervous about what other people would think. I didn't really want to promote my stuff because I didn't want people to judge me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? All that stuff. So it definitely did take me time to be comfortable and like really be outwardly confident and just, you know, shamelessly promote myself and like, you know, just work with who I wanted to, you know, just do whatever the fuck I wanted to do.
Yeah.
My motto to this day is, nobody's about to be my ass about it, because that's really the gag. If you I'm gonna promote my OnlyFans, who's going to beat my ass about it? Nobody. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's really a matter of either you're going to do what you want to do and live your best life and collect your coins, or you're going to not do that and live in fear, and because you don't want to be judged and you don't want to experience shame from other people who aren't going to beat your ass. Like, you know, like it's either or. And I'm not about to just hide in my apartment and not do anything. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it definitely, you know, you just inch a little bit more and more, and, you know, you just push your comfort zone a little bit more and more over time. It doesn't have to be anything, you know, dramatic. But at the end of the day, nobody's about to beat your ass about it. Live your best life. In living your best life, you will eventually cultivate the people in your life that support you. Because, right, I believe that I was born a hoe. That's just my belief. There's no way around it. I was just born a hoe, and I, you know, that's just how it is. So if I'm a hoe at heart, and, you know, I'm going to live my truth, and whoever sticks around and supports me and loves me in my circle, that's who it's going to be. If you got a problem with that in my circle, then we're not meant to be in each other's life. You know what I'm saying? So just if you are true to yourself, your truest life and your most abundant life and your most aligned life will, everything will just fall into place.
I love that. And even when I'm thinking about like OnlyFans, like being a business and really putting yourself out there and being like, well, this is what I own. This is my business. You know, this is what I am. This is a part of who I am. And so I feel like as you take it more seriously, your confidence continues to grow because you're promoting yourself, putting yourself out there. But I really love the advice that you shared with her. That was really, really beautiful. Kanisha says, how do you protect yourself mentally, spiritually, and emotionally?
That is a great question. That is actually something that I am continuing to practice every day. I would say that one thing that I try, you know, one thing that is a pillar to my wellness, my emotional and mental wellness, alongside therapy, is a meditation practice. And meditation is free, you know what I'm saying? Because what meditation allows me to do, just like 10 minutes every day, what meditation allows me to do is it allows me to tune into what I'm thinking. It's not even about stopping your thoughts. It's just about just like letting, like just tuning into what is, you know, how is your body feeling? What's going on in your mind? And in doing that, that allows you to really understand and tune into how are you feeling? And if you are living your life in a way that is causing you mental anguish and you are able to tune into how you are feeling, then you will realize, you know, from that point you will be like, oh, I need to address this, and then, oh, I need to do something about this. You know what I'm saying? So meditation allows me to tune into how I'm actually feeling, and from that point I address my needs. So I would say my answer to that question is having taking time to just slow down. So you understand how life is making you feel, you know, on a day-to-day basis, just checking in with yourself, having a journaling, what, you know, whatever works for you, having a journaling practice, just checking in with yourself, just, you know, getting a state of the union with yourself, you know what I'm saying? So, just so you understand how everything is making you feel. And just addressing it from there. Don't run away from your feelings. Working hard is not going to make your emotions better. Like, you're not going to work your way into emotional wealth and emotional wellness. You know?
Okay.
Solange was not lying.
Okay, because the video will tell you, work your ass off. Okay, work your ass off and what? No, let's not do that. All right. My personal question is, okay, so we know about sexual energy. We know that, you know, sexual energy can be exchanged, right? So what do you do, or do you do anything to kind of like maybe release other people's sexual energy that you've interacted with in the past, or you just want to like feel fresh or cleanse? Like, what do you do personally to do that, if you do anything like that?
Yes. Yeah, so two things that really help me, yoni egg rituals. Those really help me, and honestly, I've kind of been slacking off on them. I should do them a little bit more often, but yoni egg rituals definitely help me. I use a black obsidian yoni egg, and black obsidian black obsidian is, you know, absorbs all the negative energy. And then something that I do just about on a daily basis is Bikram yoga, so hot yoga. So it's like yoga, and like the room is like 105 degrees, 40% humidity, and Bikram yoga, it literally feels like I took a shower inside and out. Like, it feels like my life, like, it just feels like I'm born again every time I do Bikram yoga. Like, it is challenging when you do it, but afterwards you just feel like you just like release everything, you know what I'm saying? So you know, just finding practices that work for you. Like, I think yoni egg practices are great, and you know, Bikram yoga is great, but like whatever works for you, right? Like, you might like ritual bathing might be your thing, you know what I'm saying? Going to the sauna might be your thing, but yeah, that's what I do to release any pent up energy.
I like that a lot. And if you ever want to check it out, my company is called Goddess Detox. We sell the Goddess Vaginal Detox Pearls, as well as this Queen's Complete Vaginal Steaming Set. And so with our Goddess Vaginal Detox Pearls, I'm always telling people you can set your intention on releasing ex-partners or ex-lovers through the detox pearls or through the vaginal steam. Just shutting out my company. Now, one person asks, how do you handle any perverts who try and test you when doing your line of work? So whether that's people that DM you, whether that's in person, don't know, but how do you handle those type of people that kind of go overboard?
Yeah, so I would say that, right, like people in the DM, like, right, people will try you, and I feel like this probably happens to women that don't do sex work too. Like, men are special, you know, men will try you. So I'm very clear that my DMs are only for business, and you know, I have like my responses ready to go, because some men will just try to slide in your DMs to just have a conversation with you, or because they think that they are so fantastic and they think that, you know, they should take you out for dinner and you would love to go do that for free. Like, no, you know what I'm saying? So I already have my responses ready to go, like, you know, making sure that I keep people on track.
Yeah,
you know. And then, so honestly, that's not even really the biggest like concern of mine, because I might, you know, waste 5 minutes a day on that. Like, it's really no big deal. My biggest concern, and I feel like probably the biggest concern of women in the sex industry, is, you know, people that they might encounter in person. And for people who do porn like me, like videographers and photographers, and maybe even like other male talent, like, mm-hmm. I've heard stories of like men who are in the porn industry that will, you know, try to have women meet up with them outside of work and like, you know, go on their own vacations and stuff with malintentions. So that's definitely, I've never come across that personally, but I've heard other stories, and that's something to watch out for. But yeah, photographers and videographers, like, I have so many photographers in my DMs trying to take pictures, and I have no interest in that.
Yeah.
Like, because that can really, especially if they're trying to get you in a private space, like if they're trying to shoot with you outdoors, the risks are lower.
Yeah.
But if they are trying to shoot video or photos of you inside of their own home or a home, that's when the risk can go up. So at this point, my rule of thumb is I only shoot with female photographers, or if you are a man, I need to hear, you know, who have you worked with? I need references. Like, your portfolio needs to be fire. You know what I'm saying? Like, are we shooting outside? Like, I'd rather do that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm also taking it upon myself to learn my own photography and videography skills. Like, I'm planning on, when I move to Las Vegas, I'm planning on going to film school, because I am so tired of seeing people with these bright ass lights. And trust me, I've made the same mistakes. These bright ass lights and these crazy ass shadows. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to, you know, take it upon myself to learn my own camera skills. But yeah, it's in-person interactions like that that I'm most weary of. And I have definitely at this point taken precautions to make sure that situations like that, you know, I'm not in danger. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I really like about you, Sage? I feel like you're a person that will live so many lifetimes in one life. Like, for real, because you did.
Thank you so much.
I think you said Las Vegas and film school. I was just like, girl, I love that because I feel like, you know, like, you still show passion and in different interests, and you do.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not a box. Like, I don't feel like you box yourself in, even to stop your really successful business and then going to something else and then like now talking about something else. And even you talked about sexologist?
Yeah, becoming a sexologist.
Yeah. So all of that, I'm just like, wow. Like, I just feel like you're a person that lives so many lifetimes in one life. And I think that's beautiful because one thing that I really talk about to my selfish babes and self-love is like really knowing who you are. And I feel like, you know, every day we get the chance to learn more about who we are. And we're not just like who we are and who we say we are and that's it. It's like, no, we have like moments to like unfold and unlearn more and more about who we are. And it's not just this stagnant one thing or, oh, find your purpose and just do that one purpose. It's like, no, there's just so much to a person. And so I just feel like you like explore all of that. And I like that.
Yeah, no, I'm wilding out. I'm wilding the fuck out. I'm doing whatever the fuck needs to get done.
I like that. And then my last question that I have for you, Sage, is do you have a partner, a romantic partner, and have you tried romantic partnerships while doing OnlyFans? And how has that worked out for you? Because some of my selfish babes are wondering, well, if with OnlyFans, do you have a sexual, like a lover, like a significant other, and how are they taking it and how does it work?
Mm-hmm. So I honestly, this entire time that I've been taking OnlyFans pretty seriously, I have not really had my sights set on having a romantic partner up until recently. It just hasn't been a priority of mine, just because I had my, you know, just establishing myself as a person was more important to me. I do have many peers that have romantic relationships, and usually they're with other porn performers. But I feel like at this point, I just started therapy, so my priority right now is you know, continuing to grow as a person through therapy. And then I'm honestly on the market for a girlfriend. Like, I would like to have a girlfriend that also is in the industry, right? Like, if I were to have a lover, I would want them to also be a sex worker. Yeah. So, you know, that's not like a main I recently just went to Carnival. Like, I shot my shot, like, you know, like I let it out, you know what I'm saying? And and it was fun, you know what I'm saying? So like, I'm definitely one for casual encounters, and I really enjoy casual encounters. And I approach those casual encounters with a lot of respect and a lot of reverence, because just because I'm not trying to marry you doesn't mean we don't need to respect each other. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, I've just been, you know, pretty casual here and there. But as I get into therapy, I would like to be on the market for a girlfriend and secure me, you know, a wife, you know, in the industry. So, you know, it's all the baddies in the industry. If you hear this, you know, hit me up.
Y'all here. She's not playing. She's being for real, y'all.
Right. I'm being for real. We healing, okay?
On social media. And at that time, I had a boyfriend. And I had posted on social media. And I was basically requesting a partner, but a female partner. Mm-hmm. And that's how I met my girlfriend. And so we're together.
Cute.
So that's
love
how
that.
I serious. Yeah, so for real, hit her up.
Yes.
What happened? But why did you say that preferably somebody in the industry? Is it more so because they understand?
I think it's because they understand. And also, like I mentioned before, one of my big things about the content that I create is I really want to capture intimacy on camera. And I think that really best translates with somebody that you're extremely comfortable with and that you have a really close, you know, relationship, or at least, you know, physical relationship with. Like, there was a moment where I was... it wasn't a throuple, but like I was like kind of like in this like little throuple kind of, and like it was like because we, you know, saw each other on a consistent basis, like the content was really intimate and it was really, you know, beautiful, like intimate content. So that's something that's important to me. Like whoever I get into a relationship with, I want us to be able to put our lovemaking on camera, because right, that is the sex that I would like for people to see. So yeah,
I like that. And I know I was gonna ask you, like, I have another question. How is therapy going?
So I literally just, my first session was yesterday. Yeah, my first session was yesterday. So I'm just getting back in the swing of thing, just because like I am realizing like I need to, like I'm realizing, like I just had this epiphany maybe a few days ago, that taking care of my emotional and mental wellness is not something that is like, it's not like a distraction from my career goals. Like it's not like something that I need to view as a chore that's gonna like sidetrack me from being able to work towards my goals. Taking care of my mental and emotional wellness will allow me to better, you know, to apply myself more to my career with more intention and more awareness and more, you know, like presence, you know what I'm saying? So it's all part of this positive trajectory. So yeah, I'm honestly extremely optimistic about it. And I'm really looking forward to it. And like I said, like, you know, I'm on the market for a girlfriend, and I realized that in doing that, I need to step to these queens healed, and I need to step to these queens put together. You know what I'm saying? Man. I'm putting my best foot
forward. That's what the fuck I'm talking about.
I'm putting my best foot forward. I ain't trying to be nobody's toxic girlfriend. Okay, we're not doing no toxicity. Okay, we are coming together in wholesome love, and that's what I'm manifesting.
I love. Okay, so Sage, thank you so much for being on the Selfish Babes Selfish Talk podcast. Is there any last thing you want to leave our selfish babes with?
Honestly, this just came to me. I think my leaving message would probably be to, you know, if you're listening to this right now, tune into your breath, tune into your posture. Have you been deep breathing? Have you been drinking water? You know what I'm saying? Just tune into yourself. Love yourself, because I love you, period.
I love it. Thank you, boo.